Today's daf is Bamatzia daf Samach Dalid. We left off on daf Samach Gimel and Beis. We're towards the bottom of the page at the two dots, about 10-12 lines before the bottom of the page. Amar Rav Nachman, Klalu de Rabisa. So the rule about Ribbis is as follows. Kol agar natarle aser. Anytime you have payment in order to wait, meaning price is going down or someone's getting paid just for time, so that's going to be aser. Says Rashi, agar natarle schar hamtana. Payment to wait. Imozil gabe mishum hamtana shemakdim lo amos v'mekachin lo lemocharachshav. Right, that I'm going to make it a cheaper price because you're willing to wait for the product. You're going to pay me right now, and you're going to wait some time until the product is delivered, and I don't have the product right now. So that's going to be ribbis. That's the rule about ribbis. V'amar Rav Nachman, hay man diyav zuzi l'kira'a, v'ka'azli dalid dalid. If a guy gives money for kira'a, Rashi says, mocher sha'ava, someone who sells wax, and the going rate is four chalos of wax for a zuz, v'amar le yehivna lach hey, and the wax seller says, look, give me a zuz, and I'll give you five things of wax, five chalos of wax for that zuz. Isnuhu gabe shari. Look, if he has the wax on him and he's willing to sell the wax that he has, so that's just a sale. That's mutter. I'm allowed to sell you something for below market value as long as I understand what I'm doing. That's fine. That's not a problem. But lesnuhu gabe aser. If I don't have the product right now, so what am I doing? I'm selling it to you for cheaper because you're willing to wait for it. So that's going to be aser. That's going to be ribbis. Says the Gemara, pshita. Of course it's going to be ribbis. What's the havamina? I mean, that's exactly a case of paying in order to wait, of giving a cheaper price because the guy's willing to wait. So it says Marno, Lotzricha di Islay Ashray Bimasa. The person has wax suppliers in the town, in the city. Right? Says Rashi, Dislay Ashray Bimasa, Mochra Zeh Afhu Nasan Ma'os, Upasakim Achirim Al Shava. He's given money and he has a deal. He has suppliers who he has a deal with. So right now he doesn't have any wax, but he can easily go to his suppliers and get his product. So Mal Detema, keeping the Islay Ashray Bimasa, that since he has these suppliers in the town, that it should be considered as if not that he doesn't have the product, but that he doesn't have access to the product right now. Meaning it's in my warehouse and I don't have the key right now, just wait till someone shows up with the key and I'm just going to borrow for the interim until the key comes or until my son comes with it, but it's the product exists and therefore it would not be a problem of ribbis. Kamash Malah, and therefore comes Talminal. Kivin the Mechsri Guvaina command the last Nudami. Since you don't have it in your Rishus, the seller does not have it in his Rishus, and it's not just in his warehouse and he doesn't have access to it. He doesn't own it yet, it's not in his possession yet, so that's going to be considered real ribbis. It's not considered that it's here, and that's going to be Asr. So that's the Chiddush, that we don't consider it as if you're just waiting for the sun to come. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Va'am Rav Nachman, Hayman da ozif pshiti michavrei, va'ashkech be tufayna, ibikdesha das to mechayv la'durele, vilav matana bi'almahu. A guy borrows money from his friend, and then when the money is paid back, he finds that there's more money than there's supposed to be. Right, the guy who's makabel the money finds more than his friend told him that there was going to be there. So if it's an amount that it's normal for a person to make a mistake by, so then you have to go and return it. But if it's not an amount that's normal to make a mistake by, so then you assume that it's a matana, because there's no way the person made a mistake. You can assume that if it's an amount that's unusual for a person to make a mistake, so you could assume it's a matana and it was meant for you, and that's okay. If you look at Rashi, v'ashkach tufayna zeh shekibel hama'os matzben yoser mimasha amar lechavero. The one who received the money found that there was more there than his friend had told him he would give him. Now there is a machlokas rishonim about what the particulars of the case are. The Magen Mishnah tries to analyze a slight variance in Lashon that the Rambam has from the Lashon that we have in our Gemara, where he says, apparently, according to our Girsa, it's Dafka if the Loveh finds that there's more money, but if the Malveh finds at the time of the Piraon, at the time of the payment, that there's more money, so you have to assume that it's being done Mishum Ribbis. And then, for sure, it's going to be Asr. That's absolute Ribbis. And if the guy's not a Talmud Chacham, it's Asr be Mekabel of Divrei HaKol, there's no question that you're not allowed to take it. But according to the meaning, so what's the case over here? The case is where it's the time of the halva'a, where you're supposed to borrow X amount, and he gave you X plus. So at the time of the halva'a, you have the right to assume that if it's an amount that's not what you had agreed upon, and it's something that's likely that they would make a mistake about, then you're allowed to keep it. If they would make a mistake about, so you have to return it, because then it could very well be a mistake. That is how our Girsa would seem to imply. However, he says, the Rambam's Girsa is a little bit different. Manda ozif pshite l'chavri v'ashkach b'yotofiyasa. So the Rambam understands that we're talking about at the Piraon halva'a, when you're paying back. And when the payback happens, he's getting back more money than he had lent him. And the Rambam understands that this is a discussion. Our Gemara, as you would guess from context, is a discussion of ribbis. It's not just a discussion of ta'u and of Matana. It's an actual discussion of Ribbis, and you're allowed to take the money even though it seems like Ribbis Mu'ucheres, because it seems like the guy is giving you an extra Matana for giving him a loan. So the assumption is, according to the Rambam, that since he's being Mavliya, that Matana, that extra money, into the cheshbon that of the money that he's giving you back for the loan, so you have to assume that he wouldn't be so blatant about it, because we don't assume a person's a Rasha, and there must be some other reason why he's sticking it in there. There must be some mutter reason that he's sticking it in there. He must owe you the money already from somewhere else. As we'll see, the Gemara is going to discuss how it could be that there's any sort of mutter reason. Now, the Ritva just says, well, wait a second, what are we saying over here? You get this extra money. Forget Rambam, Argir, so whatever it is, whatever the situation is, the beginning of the period on the payback, you get this extra money. You're not sure if the person intended to give you the money or not. Asks the Ritva a very simple question. Ask him. If the guy's around, just ask him. Apparently, the Gemara so strongly assumes that if it's an amount that a person would not make a mistake about, that it was intentional, that you don't even have to ask him. It's such a vados that it was intentional, that apparently you don't even have to ask him, which is an astonishing thing. If the guy's around, you would imagine that you would have a requirement to ask him. So how do you have such a case that you're so sure that the person did not make a mistake? So says Gemara, Hechi Dami B'kdesha Adas Tova. What's an example where it's an amount that it's likely that he did make a mistake in the cheshbon, and you would have to return it? What's the case where you could assume he did make a mistake? So Amar Rav Acha Brei Rav Yosef, Ba'as Bi'isuraisa V'chum Shaisa. If it's off by tens or fives, meaning the way generally people counted their money, Rashi explains, the way generally people counted their money was they didn't just count 1, 2, 3, 4, they would count up to 10, and they would say, okay, 10. And they would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 30. So sometimes when you count by tens, you're likely to make a mistake. It'll be off. So instead, you won't realize that last time you said 30, you'll think last time you said 40, and then the next one you're going to say 50. So you're going to be off by one. And sometimes people count by fives. So it's most people don't count by twos or threes. Right? They're not going to say 2, 4, or 3, 6, 9, 12. They count by 5s or 10s, and therefore, if it's off by 5 or 10, so it's very likely that it was just a counting error, and it's nothing more than just a simple mistake in counting. But if it's off by a strange number, then it's likely that it was not an error, and not just likely, again, the Ritva points out, you don't even have to ask him, you have the right to assume that he meant it for you. Amle Ravach Bered de Ravel Ravashi, V'i Inish Takifahu de Lo Yahiv Matana, Mai. What if the guy is a strong person? The Rashi says, Zesha Nastam Lo Adam Kashehu, he's a very difficult person. She'ena Ragil Ligmol Chasadim Lasis Mat Naschinam. He's not the big teddy bear type. He's not the kind of guy that just gives gifts. So it doesn't seem that he's really giving a gift. Now, Rashi's again clearly understanding that we're not really dealing with a ribbis issue over here. If it were a ribbis issue, then if he's giving a gift, it's a problem, right? We're understanding that it's that for whatever reason it's not a ribbis issue. It must be at the original loan that we're not worried about the ribbis, or that since it's not ribbis ketsutza, maybe you don't have to be machzir it. If it is a ribbis issue, maybe there's no requirement to return it. It's just asr to do in the first place. But either way, the point is. The assumption was that if it's an amount that a person does not make a mistake by, some estimate it's a gift. What if it's a person who you know doesn't really give gifts? Amrlei dilma migzel gazle ve'ivle b'cheshbon. No, what you have to assume is that he has stolen from you in the past. You didn't know that he has stolen money from you in the past, and he's trying to pay it back without drawing any attention. So he just sticks the money into the cheshbon of what he's giving you right now. That if you steal someone for something from your friend and you just give it back together with something else, as opposed to making a separate big deal about it, look, this is what I stole from you and now I'm paying it back, as long as he gets his money back, you're going to be yotzei. So that's great if you've had some dealings with this person. You never met this person before in your life. You never had any monetary dealings with him at all. You're still going to assume that he must have stolen from you at some time in the past. When could he have had the opportunity to steal from you? He came from a different country. He's never been here. It's your first encounter with this person. So what's the assumption then going to be? He's an inish takifa. He's not the gift-giving type. And he's someone who you have had no dealings with in the past. So what are you going to assume now? Armalei dilma inish achrina gazle. Maybe someone else stole from you. And that's someone else that stole from you. Amalei ki yaziv ploni pshite minach avle b'cheshbon. That someone else who stole from you told this guy, look, when you give money to this fellow, stick this extra money in there. I stole from him. I need to repay it. And he was doing the shlichus of somebody else by sticking that money in there. Asks the Rashash, why not say maybe someone else wants to give you a matana? I mean, we started with this guy when we're dealing with the person directly. We said, he probably wants to give you a matana. And then we said, okay, but what if he's not the big teddy bear type? Okay, so then he probably stole from you. When we jump to the next person, why can't we say that he wanted to give you a matana? So Rashash says that if he wanted to give you a matana, if the Rashash writes that the chazaka is, he says, v'had de lo kasha diyav matana, ki anosin matana vaday rotza sheyivadala mekabel. When you give a matana, you want the guy to know you gave a matana, shu nason lo kadei sheyachzik lo tova via ovo. When you give a matana, generally you want the guy to know that you gave a matana so that you can develop goodwill between you and that person. So we'd rather say that he stole it from you and he does not want to draw attention to it, because generally speaking, when you give a matana, you do want to draw attention to the fact that you're giving him a matana. Now, if I'm giving you the money and I stick some extra money in there, I know you're going to count it and you're going to realize it's a matana. But if I'm giving someone else the money to give to you along with his money, there's no way you're going to be able to connect it back to me. You're never going to know that it's a matana. And the Rashash says, yeah, if you want to raya to this idea, look in Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Beis. Didn't have a chance to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's where the Gemara talks about that when you give candy to a child, right, you should make sure the child eats it in a pretty messy way, so that the parents can know that you took care of the kid, that you gave the kid something, and they'll have goodwill toward you, or bad will toward you if they don't want the kid eating candy. But generally speaking, they'll have goodwill toward you for doing something nice to the child. So that's generally speaking, that's the rule. There is a parallel sugya in Maseches Baba Kama, toward the end of Baba Kama, and Daf Kuf Yud Ches, of Hagozel Schaver Vivlia Lo B'Cheshbon, that if I steal money from somebody and I stick that money into other monies that I happen to be giving him in order to pay him back, so the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Im Nasan Lo L'Toch Kiso Yatza. If you put it in the guy's wallet, you yotze your chiyuv of hashava of returning the veheshves agzela. Because why? The Gemara says because a person is asu l'mashvish b'kiso b'kol sha'a. People are always checking their wallet; they're always counting. So eventually, the guy will realize that he has extra money over there. So he's gonna find the money in his wallet, and he's gonna realize that you paid him back. But if you put it l'toch yado, then you're not Yotze, because it could be that he just throws it right into his big money box, right into his cash register, and he's not going to realize that there was extra money that was put there. And Rashi over there explains that that's if you purchase something from the person you stole from sometime later. So and you add you, you and that's when you're mavliya the cheshbon, because you're embarrassed to say that you stole from him. So that's the parallel sugya where you're gonna have to go through carefully exactly how what our case is talking about, where the guy's mavliya, is he really being yotzei hashava, meaning is he talking about, you're talking about a case where the guy's giving you money right now, the assumption is that you're going to find it, so it would have to dafka be betoch a kiss or something like that, where the assumption is that you're going to be counting it, you're going to be expecting a certain amount of money. That's what the Shulchan Aruch actually says. You have to put both sugyas together. Shulchan Aruch paskins that if to be yotze the mitzvah of hashavi, you need both things. It needs to be machzir b'tocha kiss, and that it's minyanam yadua, which is our Gemara's Tanai, that you know what you're supposed to get from this guy in advance, and this isn't what you're supposed to get from him, right? So you need both Tanais in order for it to be a real mitzvah of hashava, in order for the guy to really be yotzei's mitzvah of returning the money. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Kana, havi yasivin b'shili pirkei d'Rav. I was sitting in Rav's shir, v'shamet ka amar kari kari. And I came late to the shir, and sometimes when you come late to a shir, you have no idea what's going on in the shir. You just hear certain catchphrases and certain words that are repeated, and you're not really sure what's going on. So he said, I heard that in the shir, he was saying kari kari, which is a gourd. Gourds, gourds. Well, you're down in my kamar. I don't know what he's talking about with gourds. I didn't understand a word that he was saying. So Basar de Kam Rav, Amri Luhu, my kari kari de Kam Rav. So after Rav left, you know, I sat there and smiled and pretended to take notes the whole time. But then after he left, I said to the other Talmidim, what's he hacking with the gourds? What's he talking about? So Amruli, Hachi Kam Rav. Now what he said is as follows, that Haiman de Yav Zuze Ligina'a, a kari, the ka'azli asara kari b'nei zarta, that if a person gives money to a guy who owns a garden for gourds that are growing in the garden, and the gourds are a zarta, which is a half an amma in length, that's how big they are, va'amrla yahivnalach b'nei garmida, and the gardener says, I'm going to give you gourds that are an amma, that are twice as big, meaning the gourds that are there are not yet fully grown, and he says, I'm going to give you gourds that are twice as big, so isnuhu shari, if he actually is in possession of gourds that are that big, that are an amma long, so then it's totally mutter, if he has such large gourds in his garden, but less nuhu aser. If he doesn't have it, then it's going to be aser. If all he has are the smaller size, and he's taking money for the larger size, that's going to be aser, because then it's ribbis. Why is it ribbis? Because again, he's taking payment, and he's probably giving the guy a cheaper price, because the guy is willing to wait until he has the product, and he does not have the product right now. So affecting mar pshita. Of course, that's exactly the definition of ribbis. That's what we started the daf with. That was Rav Nachman's rule, that whenever there's a lowering of the price because someone's willing to wait, that definitionally is ribbis. So it says, well, no, ma'u detema, kivin de memela karabu shapir dami. I might have thought, no, it's natural that the melons are going to grow. They grow. They're middle of their growth, and they're going to be an amma. Kamash melon. Therefore, it comes to tell us, not so. That you don't make the assumption that just because it's natural for them to grow, that it's not a problem of ribbis, because we still assume that the end product of what he's trying to buy is not here yet. Kiman ki aitana, we're assuming like the following tana. The tanya haholich lachlo v'zizo v'ligzozes rechelo v'person v'liodosas kavarto, a person is going to milk his goat, or to shear his sheep, or to take the honey down from his honeycombs, and he wants to go take his product. Matzu chaveiro v'amrlo, masha izay cholvos machulach, that whatever milk I get from my goats, sold to you. Masha recheli gozos, machulach, whatever wool I get from my sheep, sold. Masha kavarti roda, machulach, whatever honey I get, totally sold to you. He hasn't taken any honey, he hasn't taken any milk, he hasn't taken any wool yet. He hasn't gotten anything yet, but he's selling the future what he's going to get. So mutter. That's totally mutter to say such a tonight like that. However, avul amrlo, mashi ze chovos, kach v'kach. But if he says, I'm going to sell you what the milk for my goats, and it's going to be this amount, and he gives a number to it, kach v'kach marchalach. Masha Recheli goes, kach v'kach marchalach. Masha Givarti wrote, kach v'kach marchalach, that's going to be aser. Aye, why is it going to be aser? Eventually, you're going to hit that amount, meaning I may not get the first milking, you may not hit that amount, but the goat's going to continue to produce milk, the sheep is going to continue to grow wool, so why should that be aser? The afgav de mimela karabu, even though in a chinami it's going to grow, kiven de lesnu beishaita aser, since at that moment it doesn't exist, we don't have that amount, so that's going to be aser. If you look at Rashi says that v'lirdos is kavarto. First Rashi says it's a strange lashon. V'lirdos is kavarto. Lirdos, I don't know, some other verb of what it means to take honey. Why lirdos? So he says, because al shem sha'asuyos chalos chalos, u'dvukos mi dofen el dofen. Since the way that the honey is set up is that it's made in like loaves, and you have to, and they extend from one wall to the other, so it brings to mind Rediyas HaPas. Right, Rediyas HaPas we know from Masechta Shabbos, which is also Midrabanan, to be Roda Pas from the Tanur, where they used to stick the dough on the side walls of the oven as they would bake, and being Roda the Pas. So we use such a Lashon because it reminds us a little bit of bread. But Rashi also explains more sharply what the chiluk is between the case that was Mutter and the case that was Aser. Mashi Izai Chovos Machulach Bekach Vekach Zuz Imma'at imrav yagiyacha. That in the first case where it was mutter, you didn't specify an amount. You said, look, it's potluck. Whatever you're going to get. How does the goat look to you? Look like it's in the mood to milk a lot? Whatever I'm going to milk right now, it's going to be sold to you for a certain amount. That's mutter. Why is it mutter? Sharei kibel, and this is going to be key. Sharei kibel alav hefsid uskar. Because it was a risk. He took a count, he could have lost and he could have gained. If the guy would have made a deal in such a way where he cannot lose, and he can only gain, that's a problem. But if it's a situation where he could have lost or he could have gained, Hilka chafilu mirtzi yosu mishava adamim, ein kana agarnatale, di have a batzer midamim, nami have a shakil. That's not paying for patience, because there's no patience. It doesn't require any patience. The guy's going to lose if it's not enough. But when it's when you're guaranteeing a certain minimum, so then you're going to be saying that, look, eventually, if you wait, eventually we'll hit that number, but you might have to wait for us to hit that number, that a certain amount of gallons of milk, you might have to wait for us to hit that number, and now you're paying because of, you're paying a cheaper price because you're willing to be patient. So, ikada amri, others say, no, amar rava, kivin de memela karabu shapir dami. Others say, no, that it's just the opposite, that the halacha is just the opposite, that if it's something that's memela going to grow, then that's okay. That's not going to be considered a ribbis. I frek the Gemara, but wait a second, if that's what Rav is saying, by the gourds, by the case of the gourds that are growing in the field, that are half an amma, that since they're going to be one amma, so that's going to be okay, Vatanya kach v'kach aser, what do you do with this price? It says that if you specify an amount, when you go to milk your goats, and you go to shear your sheep, etc., if you specify an amount, that's aser. So he says, no, there's a big difference between shearing the sheep, milking the goats, taking the honey on one side, and the gourds growing on the other side. What's the difference? The way that they grow. Right? If I guarantee you 30 gallons of milk, and this goat is not going to give me 30 gallons of milk today, so where's the rest of the milk going to come from? It's not that the milk that it gives me today is going to grow and going to turn into 30 gallons. It's not going to rise, right? It's that the milk is going to be replaced by other milk that doesn't exist yet. But by the gourd, this gourd itself, which is right now half an amma, is going to grow. Hasam lav mine karabu deshakli lelahai vasi achrina beduchtei. By the milk, it's not that it grows, it's that we take this milk and then other milk comes and fills its place. Over here, it's growing from within. So when you take it from this guy, another one does not come and take its place. Meaning, if you take this gourd, the another gourd is not going to grow in its place. It's that this gourd is going to grow itself. So that's the chilek. Period. Rav Zilberstein has this very nice sefer of questions halacha lemaisa that relate to the daf, and this was his shaila relating to our case. Reuven bal lul tarnagolas machar l'shimon lefnei pesach haseres alafim tavnios beitzim. Reuven owns a chicken coop and he sells X amount of eggs to Shimon. Shimon pays a down payment and he does a kinyan sudar on the eggs, on the kinyan. And now beitzim go up, eggs go up in value. So now the eggs should cost a lot more money. Now Reuven wants to go back because at the time that they made the kinyan, Reuven says, it was a davar shloba liyolam. I didn't have that amount of eggs. I own a chicken coop and the chickens are going to lay eggs. They drug chickens. I don't know if you... They drug chickens in order to produce tons of eggs. Right? There was a video on YU Torah recently of one of my chaverim, my old chaverim from MTA and Karen Biavne and YU, Rav Shechtish here, who's very into shechita and studying rare birds and things like that. He's like the OU's expert on these things. His name is Rabbi Chaim Loiki, and they every once in a while puts up a video of him in one of the labs in YU pulling apart some animal, and you know, Rav Shechter and a bunch of the Kol guys hocking around, you know, looking and seeing. So he pulled open the chicken, and there were tons and tons of eggs inside of it. And he said, yeah, there's so many eggs there because they drug them. They drug them to produce a great amount of eggs. But nevertheless, 10,000 eggs, the guy doesn't have 10,000 eggs in his chicken coop. He's going to eventually produce it. So Reuven wants to be chozer since the prices of eggs went up. He says, yeah, we did a kinyan, but a kinyan on what? It's a davar shloba liolam. So Rav Zilberstein says, but metziyas samach dalid, you're going to be chole v'sizav, you're going to be gozis v'srochelav, you're going to be lirdos v'skavarto, and you say that which they're going to make today machrolach, so that's going to be mutter. Rashi says, because you're willing to take hefsid or schar, so it's not considered to be a ribbis. But there is a machlokas rishonim. Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, that which you say, mashi izay chovos machrolach, mashi rechili gozizos, mashi kivarti roz, that's only that is not considered a davar shelo bali olam, even though the giza, the dvash, the chalav is only going to grow afterwards. That's this is only an issue of ribbis. You know, that's not called the davar shelo bali olam, which is unusual. You would imagine that it is called a davar shelo bali olam. However, the Tshuvas HaRashba writes in relation to a shaila that he had about umu uberes, a pregnant woman who sold. Her promised somebody that when she gives birth, she'll nurse that other person's child. She sold herself out, she rented herself out as a nursemaid. So the question is that called the davar shelo bali olam? So he says that even after she gives birth, it's going to be called the davar shelo bali olam because the milk is not there yet. I mean, even after she gives birth, she may have a certain amount of milk, but the replacement milk, whatever's going to come afterwards, is not going to be there yet. And that's considered a davar shelo bali olam. So Rav Zilberstein says, it seems that the machlokas over here is very similar. I mean, this machlokas we showed him, whether that which is not yet here, when you know it's coming, is going to be considered a davar shelo bali olam, when it's an item that replaces itself, that continuously grows on a continuous basis, whether that's called davar shelo bali olam. So he says, Mistama, the issue with the chickens is tali and not machlokas rishonim. So what do you do when it's tali and machlokas rishonim? There's a little bit more to the analysis, but we're going to run out of time. We'll go through the whole thing. But what do you do when you have a machlokas rishonim on dinim amnis? No, motzi mechaver alav araya. You want to prove that that the guy owes you the money. So he doesn't have to. He could just if you want to sue him for it, you have to sue him for it. But you're not going to be able to do anything unless you're able to bring a raya that we pass in one way or the other. Okay, let's get moving over here. Says Gemara Vayter. Amar Abaye. Shari leilin shlemem leil chavrei. Helech harba azuza. A person is allowed to tell his friend, here's 4 zuz for the barrel of wine. Itakva bershusech. Look, if the wine spoils, I don't want it. Then the deal is off. All bets are off. Iyakri izila bershusi. But if the wine just goes up or down in value, normal market fluctuations, then that I'm okay with. I'm paying you 4 zuz now, and even if it's going to be worth 2 zuz tomorrow, I'm still paying you 4 zuz now for the wine, it's fine. If it's going to be worth 6 zuz tomorrow, I'm paying you 4 zuz, and we're keeping it at 4. So I'm willing to take a hefsid, I'm willing to take schar, but I'm not willing to take if it just totally spoils. That kind of risk, I'm not willing to take. So I'm really Rav Shravi Labaye, Hai Karv L'Schar V'Rakul, what kind of risk is that? The guy's not taking any real risk. It's Karav L'Schar and Rachok L'Hafsid. Much more likely that he's going to gain and less likely that he's going to lose because the main possibility of loss he's already taken care of. So I'm like, even the Mekabel Lezila, Karvel Zevel Zahu. He says, no. As long as he accepted upon himself the possibility of losing, even though one of the possibilities, one of the major possibilities of losing, he totally shut off, as long as he accepted a possibility of losing, that's going to be totally okay, that's going to be fine, that's not called Ribbis. That's going to be okay, that's going to be Muslim. Okay, period. New Mishnah. Hamal ve'eschavero lo yodur b'chatzero chinam. If a person lends money to his friend, he should not live in his chatzer for free. Meaning that obviously that's considered a favor for the loan. I lend you money, now I'm going to go live in your chatzer rent free. In addition to the fact that you're going to pay me back the money, that's obviously a major problem of ribbis. V'lo yiskar mimenu b'pachos. Not only that, you can't even give me a good deal on rent. You're not allowed to tell me that, okay, normally it's $1,000 a month, I'm going to give it to you for $500 a month. Even that is out of the question. That's Mipneshu Ribbis. That's also considered a problem of Ribbis. The Rambam writes that if he gives him a cheaper deal and he sets a price for him, for that cheaper deal, that's Ribbis Midaraisa. I mean, in this case, where he gives you a cheaper deal on the rent in exchange for, because you lent him money, that's going to be Ribbis Midaraisa. But the Beis Yosef writes in the name of Rashba, in the name of the Rashba, that it's only going to be Ribbis Daraisa if that was a condition of the rental. If I tell you at the time of rental, look, normally it's $1,000 a month. For you, it's going to be $500 a month because of what you did for me, because you lent me money. But if you just say stam, okay, what's the price? $500 a month. And he doesn't say it's $1,000, but for you it's $500. He just says stam, $500 a month. So then it's only going to be Ribbis Midrabanan. You could have gotten $1,000 a month for it. So yeah, but since it wasn't katsutza, they didn't set an amount for ribbis, and it's not, and we have a concept of enunala karkos, that there is no set price on mechiras karkos. There's no price that we say is the price for karka. So even if you're off by a lot on karka, it's still going to be considered the price of that karka. So just like enunala karkos by mechiras karka, says the Beis Yosef, enunala karkos by Schiras Karka, who's to say that they're any different. And therefore, it's only Ribbis Midrabanan, it's not Ribbis Daraisa. So he says two factors. He says, number one, that it's not Ribbis Ketsutza, that you don't spell out to the person that really it should be $1,000, but I'm giving you a deal. And number two, Inonala Karkos. So there's a question, Avni Nezer's Mistapik, do you need both of those? Meaning, are these two reasons that can work independently? Either one would knock it down from a situation of Ribbis Daraisa, or is only one of them, or do you need the two of them together in order to be absolutely confident that it's really only Ribbis Midrabanan? It's also interesting, the idea of Inonala Karkos. What's the Shaykhus really of Inonala Karkos over here? Meaning, Inonala Karkos is that, meaning it's nice to say, just like there's Inonala Karkos by Mechira, so too by rental, but Inonala Karkos has nothing to do with Ribbis. Inonala Karkos is a din in a sale, that there's a Gzeris HaKasav, that when it comes to a sale, that we don't look at, we ignore Ona'a. Meaning, I know when I'm getting a good deal on karka. It's not like I pretend there's no such thing as a good deal or a bad deal on karka because they don't know the karkos. No, you know when you're getting a good deal on karka. It's just that the Torah says it's not going to be subject to the dinim of hona'a. So fine, it's not going to be subject to the dinim of hona'a. I still feel like he's doing me a favor. And if I still feel like he's doing me a favor, so isn't it a problem of ribbis? So that's an issue that has to be dealt with. Rabbi Kivega writes that according to the Rashba, you really have to look at the dinim of Eino Nola Karkolos again, because there's a Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that lahalacha yesho Nola Karkolos bechatzi. That if it's off by a half, so then there is another karkos. So if he's going to give him such a cheap price, it could be ribbis min haTorah. If you're relying on the fact that he had another karkos to knock it down from ribbis daraisa, so it could be that we're unsuccessful in knocking it down from ribbis daraisa. It could be that Yitaka do have ribbis daraisa. But anyway, the Mishnah is just trying to explain that we have to be careful about taking favors from somebody who we've given money to. The shailas that come up, halacha lemaaseh, Rav Zilberstein quotes a shaila, a guy lends money to his friend, and on Shabbos, he's sitting in shul, and he hears that they call him up for an aliyah. Okay, fine, they call me up for an aliyah. He goes up to the rabbi, who bought me the aliyah? Yeah, that guy bought you the aliyah. So does he have to turn it down? Right? The guy's doing him a favor. Why is he buying me the aliyah? Obviously, I lent him $1 million. He's going to buy me now. He has plenty of money to buy me an aliyah, right? But I lent him $1 million. He's going to want to do me a favor to give me aliyah. So he says, if the issue over here is that once they're machriz, once they announce your name, so you're not supposed to not go up, because then it's going to be a pegam in you. People are going to say that, oh, what happened? It's going to be multi laws on your whole family if you don't go up. So it's a much more tricky issue over here. Now, he certainly should not buy you the aliyah, and it's ribbis devarim and chanufa and everything else, but there's nothing you could do at this point, because right now, once they call your name up for an aliyah, so mistama, you have to go and take the aliyah. Okay, anyway, that's the Darkei Tshuva writes that if someone, you lent money to somebody, they should not be mechabed you with the mila of their child, or the sandakaus of their child. I mean, they shouldn't give you extra kibudim. That's not something, they shouldn't take such favors. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef bar Ben Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Afal Pisha Amru, Hadar B'chatzar Chaveru Shlomi Daito, Eino Tzarech Lalos L'Schar, even though generally Chazal say that if you live in somebody's field, Shlomi Daito, meaning you squat, you go into his property, and you're a squatter in his property, so you don't have to pay him for the for living there. Look, if you lent him money and then you're going to live in his chatzer, so then you cannot take that favor for free. Then you're going to have to pay him money. So, that's exactly our Mishnah. It's exactly what our Mishnah says. That when you lend somebody money, you shouldn't live in their chatzer, and you shouldn't even take a cheaper rent, because it's going to be a problem of ribbis. The truth is, I would have answered that, well, let's see what the Gemara answers. Imi masnisin says, no. Had you only had our Mishnah, hava mina hani mili b'chatzir d'kaim la'agra v'gavr da'avad l'megar, I would have said that these are apartments that are up for rent. These are fields that he's looking to rent and that he should be making money off of. And he's not making money because he wants to do you a favor, so he's losing out on potential profit from somewhere else. That's where you're going to have a problem. That's where it's going to be an issue of ribbis. Avuchatzu de lo kaim la agra v'gavr de lo avid l'megar emalo. But if it's stam, a vacant chatzah that he's not using anyway, stam a squatter, he just comes into a place where no one is using it, and you had no intention of making money off of it, I might think that it's not really a problem. So kamashmal, and therefore comes tell me, no, it's still going to be a problem. We're still going to view it as a problem, even though it's not an area where the person was intending, or even perhaps even had the ability to make money off of, still you're not allowed to go live in his chatzer. It's interesting, the Gemara doesn't make the distinction between Midaito and Shalom Midaito. Right? Maybe you could have argued that that's the distinction, that the case we quote is that Dabr Chatzer Chavero Shalom Midaito, the guy doesn't even know he's doing you a favor. Right, so you don't have to pay him because you're squatting and he doesn't even realize you're there. But okay, but the Gemara makes this perhaps more fundamental distinction between whether it's costing him money or not costing him money. The have a mean of a distinction, kamashmal, and that it's not a distinction, that even if he's not losing any money on you living there, still you're not allowed to take it if you have lent him money, because it's gonna smack of ribbis. Ikeda Amri, Amr of Yosef Bar Ben Yumi, Amr of Nachman. Others have a lashon, a version of this discussion, where the discussion goes as follows: that Amr of Yosef Bar Ben Yumi, Amr of Nachman, Afal Pisha Amra, Dar B'chatzar Chaver Shlomi Daito, Eino Tzarech Lalos L'Schar. Even though generally we say that if you live in someone's chatzar, Shlomi Daito, that you don't have to pay him, Halveini V'Dar B'chatzeri Tzarech Lalos L'Schar. But if he makes it part of the deal, if he says, look, lend me money, and guess what? You can live in my field if you're looking for a place to live. So then you're going to have to pay for that. You're going to have to pay rental. You can't just take the favor of living in the guy's field. So, man diyamar halveu, kol shekein halveini. So if you hold that even if it wasn't part of the agreement, it's still going to be aser. So then obviously if he makes it part of the agreement, it's going to be aser. If he says, please lend me money and you can live in my field, that's obviously going to be aser. But if you hold like the second lashon, man diyamar halveini, aval halveu lo, but if you say that it only if you're understanding your girsa in what the discussion was, that only if he says he says outright, look, lend me money and you can live in my field, so you would say, yeah, that's where it's usher. But if he just happened to have lent him money and he wants to live in his field, so then maybe in a chanami it would not be usher. My taima Kivin de Meikar lava daiti dachi usfei les lenba. That was never part of his intention in lending the money. He was never thinking about the field or giving him the field or taking the field, taking the rental. That wasn't part of the agreement. So maybe it's not a problem at all, since Meikara, it wasn't part of the discussion. If you look at Rashi Kamash Malan, right, so that Rashi Kamash Malan is again going on the case where we said that we might have had a Hava Amina to make a distinction between a field that the guy could have made money from, that the borrower could have made money from, and a field that the borrower could not have made money from. Kamash Malan, that we're not mechalik either way is going to be usser. So Kamash Malan, the Mischazia Karibis, the Mechzia Karibis, it looks like ribis. V'yesh Lulman Mikan, so says Rashi, we see from here, Sha'asr lahalvos albayis, v'ladrbo afilu b'nachyasa, that you're not allowed to borrow money and then, or lend money and then live in the house and use the rental payment to pay off the money. Meaning, if I lend someone $10,000, I'll live in the house for 10 months, it's $1,000 rent a month, I won't pay any of the rent, and that way the money will eventually go away. You're not allowed to take a cheaper rate, even if that's going to go toward the payment. Meaning, we were assuming our Gemara was talking about where you just stand taking a cheaper rate, and the money's not going to go off of any cheshbon. Even if we can use that money to take off of the cheshbon, it's going to be aser. So he says, "V'lo damin l'mashkona shel kerem tahasa." He says, "Aye, but the Gemara is going to say later on that you aren't allowed to do that with a vineyard. You're allowed to go into the vineyard, and whatever grapes you take are going to go off of the cheshbon." So he says, "No, tahasam zimnin de lo shakel be'midi." Over there, sometimes you're not going to get anything out of the vineyard. A flood's going to come, whatever. The vineyard's not going to grow. You're going to end up getting nothing. V'afilu hachi menakile v'havle kones aperos benachyasuzu ala safek. So since there's always the safek one way or the other, avokan zen. But over here, it's a constant hana'ah that you're going to be getting, and there's no suffix, maybe you will, maybe you won't get hana'ah from it, so therefore it's going to be a bigger problem of ribis, because of the greater level of hana'ah, the greater consistency of the hana'ah that you're going to get from the field. Says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Yosef Bar Chama takif avdi de inshi de masuk bu zuzi. Rav Yosef Bar Chama used to take avadim of people who owed him money, vavibu avidita, and he would make them work for him. He would make the avadim work for him. Amalei Rav Abrei, so Rav his son said to him, "My time avid marhachi, why are you doing that?" Amalei, meaning, isn't that a problem of ribis? Amalei, anak Rav Nachman sfirili, dam Rav Nachman avdi nahom kresi lo shavi. I hold like Rav Nachman that it costs more to support an Eved by giving him food than the actual value of the work that he gives you. So I'm not really gaining anything by taking the Eved, I'm feeding him. So Amalei, Emer Dam Rav Nachman Gondari, Avde, Demrakid Beikovi, Avde Achrini, Mi Amar. He says, yeah, that's Rav Nachman speaking from his own experience. He had this late of an Eved, Dari, who used to go dance on bar taps and, you know, did for drinks. And, he was a comedy guy in a club, and he'd get his drinks. He was a total late. He didn't do any work. So yeah, for him, it cost more to feed him than it actually did for the work that he got out of him. But most avadim, you know, there's a reason that people want avadim. It's not because they lose money on avadim. They gain money on avadim. Most avadim do some work. So Amalei says, you're right. Anaki had Rav Daniel Bar Katina Amarav Sfirili. I hold like Rav Daniel Bar Katina Amarav. Damar I took if Avdu Shal Chaver Vasab Malacha Pater, who holds that if you take someone else's Eved and you do Malacha with him, you're Pater from paying the guy. You know why? The Nichalid Lanistre Avde. You're doing him a favor. He doesn't want his Eved sitting there, bottle, getting used to not doing work. The Eved's going to get used to not doing work. It's going to be bad for him. So if you see the Eved sitting around doing nothing, you say, come here and make him do some work for you, and the master will be grateful for you. So, says, yeah, that's great if you see someone else's Eved that's not doing anything, and you have no prior relationship with that person. But when you lent that person money, so then it really smells. It really looks bad. Because after all, we know if you squat in someone's field and the person doesn't know about it, you don't have to pay him. But if you lend him money and you go and squat in his field, then you're going to have to pay him. It changes the whole dynamics of the relationship. A guy's allowed to buy you an aliyah and shul. He's not allowed to buy you an aliyah and shul if you lend him money. Right? It changes the dynamics of the relationship. You have to be much more aware of when you're taking money from him. Amalei Hajibi says, you're right, I changed my mind. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to take the Eved. I'm Modal Emes. Okay, we'll pick up Bezal Shem from there tomorrow.